This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar, hanging out with Nick Reinhardt. How you doing, Nick?
Good. Happy to be here.
Fellow YouTuber. Again, I addressed this in Dwan's video with Marilyn Manson. Nick is part of Pedals and Effects. Great YouTube channel. Check it out after you check out YouTube or Premier Guitar on YouTube. Nick, you are a man of many kooky, obsolete gear.
Someone hashtagged me the Willy Wonka fucking guitar pedals yesterday.
How's that make you feel?
Like, oh. I was like, whoa. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I can get behind that.
Well, yeah, I like weird stuff. Yeah.
So, speaking of weird, let's just go right at it. What's this guitar?
All right, this is a Squire Supersonic. This is a series, the Vista series, that were Japanese guitars in the mid-90s, like 96 to 98-ish. I became freakishly obsessed with them like 5 years ago. I saw a blue sparkle in a guitar shop, and I was like, ew, that thing is so stupid. It's facing the wrong way. It's ugly. It's just this dumb guitar. And then I like went home and was complaining about it to my girlfriend at the time. And then I realized after like a week of just like shit talking this guitar, I was actually in love with the guitar. So I sold a bunch of stuff and traded things around and went and got it. And then I freaked out for it. And so anyways, there's four of the Squire editions that exist. And I completed my collection last year.
Okay.
So I have all four of them. And it's just this funny guitar. It's an upside down.
And that's how it comes though. So, cause Perry is asking before we start rolling, like this is how it looks.
Yeah, this is it. No, this is it. It's the dude, one of the Fender guys modeled it after seeing Hendrix playing an upside down jack.
Okay.
So that was the whole deal with it. So yeah, so it's just a, you know, if that's how it comes. It's this weird little funky guitar. It's, you know, like I said, it's Japanese. It's C-I-J.
Okay.
And something just about this era of Fender guitars coming out of the Fuji Gen factory or wherever else it was at the time, it lights me up. So
I know that people get really juiced up about like the early 80s Squire stuff because that's kind of the transformation.
Totally, so, exactly. Like, and I do have 80s Squires at home as well. Yeah, but this was the one, just they're so dorky and they're like hard to find. And
what do you,
like,
since you got them and became kind of your go-to guitars, what do you like about their quirks? Like, you know, obviously the higher tension that you're gonna have.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's so small. I mean, I guess that's short scale.
Yeah.
It's like an illusion. There's so many people would be like, wait, what? Is it upside down or whatever? And that's like totally my personality that it's like something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then also I've gotten like heckled about like, is that guy doing all that on a Squire? And I'm like, that's pretty rad too. So just everything about it is just my personality in one. And this is just my beater, which is actually, I've been playing this one for the last few Taramellos tours just because it's just kind of like, it's all chewed up and gnarly and that kind of works.
And do you use the Squire stuff and these ones included for like other ventures that you have, obviously like with Mike Watt, the Walnut stuff?
I did do Big Walnuts Yonder on one of the, one of the Supersonics. I mean, it's like, these are Duncan design. They're just stock that come with it in all the models. So it's just a rock guitar. It's just like rock, you know what I mean? Like there's not really tone to it. It's just like rock music, you know? So anything it's like rock, it kind of just works with it. So,
cool. And yeah. Talk to me, obviously this didn't come with it.
All right, so here's the funny thing about this. This is the Roland GK2A MIDI synth pickup, which connects into the Roland GR30 synth brain. this is just like a weird little quirky thing. Basically, you line it up under your strings, which takes a lot of finesse,
yeah.
And then it converts your guitar into a MIDI controller, basically. So then you go into the brain, you get piano sounds, drum sounds, all sorts of crazy things. And what's funny about this is you guys walked in, you're like, oh, it looks like you have stuff glued all over to your amp, and you were being facetious. And I was like, no, I literally do have things glued all over the place. This pickup is actually, so right here, it screws in. It happened to line up perfectly with a little hole that was right there, but this side is just super glued. So I just like line it up perfectly, and like, it takes a lot of finessing because it tracks weird. It's like, I think this is like early 90s. It's just bizarre, and you don't get on it and start shredding, like, you know, solos or something. You play to the sound or whatever, so you can play piano or whatever with the guitar. But anyways, this takes a long time to get it perfect, and it just so happens that the size and shape of the Supersonic, it fits perfectly when you install it on there. So if you could see the little, like, whatever those are, magnets or whatever, I don't know what they are, but like they kind of line up perfectly under each string. It's not every guitar has the same radius, right? So like it just was kind of like this magical thing that it worked out like that. So, and then so I just have this Velcro to the guitar. Actually, here's another really funny thing that happened with this. When I was installing it on this guitar a few months ago, I like put it on and I had it like in the wrong spot. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And I took it off and it just fucking took all the paint off the guitar. I just started laughing. It was right there and I was like, wait, that's not a good spot. My hand's gonna hit it. Whoops, and it just tore the paint right off. Which I was like, that's pretty amazing. Yeah. So, you
I'm sure someone will give you shit about that.
I feel the wood too. It's like the worst feeling. Oh, like, what is that? It's like super soft and just crappy.
It's so, like plywood.
Yeah. But so, yeah. So actually, a guy knew that I was super into these guitars, and I was working at a Bass Player Live event in LA one time, and he brought this to the thing and was like, do you want to buy this? And it was all dinged up and chewed up. And I was like, I'll take it. Sure. I want a black one, so. Well, so that's the guitar, so that's kind of what's doing with this guy.
Before we go to a more standard offset, I kind of want to get your philosophy on that. You kind of touched on it, your attitude or your personality is a little off. What are you going for that, you know, it's not just that you're trying to be eccentric with cool oddball gear, but there's obviously something there to it that you're attracted to.
Yeah, I mean, well, aesthetically, I just like cool looking used thing, like Sonic Youth, you know, Nirvana, all the like thrash stuff. I used to play Gibson SGXs, and like I had a sticker on it, and it was before the very first Taramello show ever. I was like, I don't like that sticker on it. So I took the sticker off, and it left all the shit and kind of like messed it up, and I freaked out like, oh my God. And so I went and got like goo off to try and like clean all the shit off of it, and then that ruined the finish even more. And I was like, oh, what have I done to this like beautiful guitar? And that was when I realized like, I don't give a shit about a beautiful guitar.
Yeah.
You know, I just like it to be the way it is, because that's, you know, they're supposed to be played.
It's functional.
I'm not gonna sell this.
Yeah.
I won't ever sell this guitar or like, you know, any of my things that I really like, you know, put myself into. I'm gonna hold on to it forever, hopefully. Yeah. So like, why do I care about it? You know, I want it to get use, and that's what they're meant to be played, cool. You know, and like toured with and stuff.
That's a good attitude, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, I talked about it. I'll bring this up to you.
Yeah.
Bring this into the camera.
Okay, so this one's funny. There is a little funny story with this. This is a 93 MIJ made in Japan. There's a little bit of like rumors about when that switches over and why it switches over, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Kind of you Google and figure that out. But so I always really, really wanted a mid-90s MIJ Jazzmaster. Like 5 years ago, Jamie Stillman from Earthquaker Devices, we're hanging out. He's in town. Juan is doing a demo at True Tone in Santa Monica, really cool music shop.
Yep.
Jamie trades the dude some stock for this guitar off the wall. And I was like, oh man, you're getting that? And it was like really expensive or whatever. And so he got this. And I was like, just like bummed. And so for 4 years, I was like, if you ever sell that, let me know and I will sort it. Like, I know it's a lot of money, I can't afford it, but just let me know. So probably about once every 9 months, I sent him a text. Hey, just letting you know, I'm still down for that guitar. And I see him, whatever, three or four times a year, every time. So then all of a sudden, sometime last year, someone tweets me a link to a Reverb posting of this guitar. And I was like, oh! It was like minutes after it had gone up. I was like, oh my God, that fucker. Like, he's selling this, he didn't tell me. And on the Reverb listing, because I played it at Earthquaker Day two years ago. I demoed it because he had it. I'm like, dude, let me play my Jazzmaster, you know?
So
I played it at the thing, and in the Reverb description, he put the video of me playing it.
I think he's...
Son of a bitch.
He's poking the bear.
So I texted him right there. I was like, dude, I want it. Give it to me right now. And I PayPal'd him that moment. He took it down. So anyway, I finally got this guitar. It was one I always wanted. I don't ever see myself like having like a vintage like 62 Jazzmaster or something. Like, I'm not spending that kind of money on a guitar. And honestly, this sounds crazy, but you guys will think this sounds crazy, but like, I feel like this is the last guitar that I wanted.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I've got like probably 30 guitars at home, but truly like, this was the one, like, I want one of these and then I feel like I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah, so that's it. So
rad.
I play the nice Jazzmaster and then this thing.
And while we got Jamie in the brain, check out his band Relaxer, awesome jams.
Yeah, please.
Now this is where things are gonna get a little hairy for you in the comment section.
Yes.
You're well aware of this and you're fine going forward.
Yep.
All right.
We're good.
Talk to me about this amp.
Okay, so this amp was a PV6505 combo. PV gave this to me like 10 years ago. They gave me this amp and a guitar, and it was so funny because after all this emailing and blah, 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 I never heard from them again. It was weird. I'm like, all right,
cool,
we're good then. So anyways, I toured with this thing for 10 years. It was a beast. I loved it. About 1 year ago, it died on me. It just goes down to half volume.
Uh-huh.
Extremely frustrating. I take it to my amp shop in LA. They work on it. They give it back to me. Oh, yeah, sounds great. Bring it to practice. Goes down a half hour into practice. So whatever, we're going on tour, blah, blah, blah. I need to work something else out. So now I have a dead 6505 combo, which I love, which is a tank, you know. So in the meantime, that's in the shop, just doing whatever. I'm Craigslisting, and I finally decide that I'm ready to own a JCM 800. So I find a JCM 800 212 combo, single channel, not the dual channel.
Take note, kids.
I find the single channel for an insane price. Like, it's not even funny what this price was, and I'm not gonna say it, but it was like absurd.
Yeah.
And the cab was brand new. There was not one scratch on it, and it was just this, like, I don't know, like middle-aged dude in the valley that had it. And like, I'm telling you, it had never left the studio. So this is like whatever, an 80, 81, you know, like holy grail guitar amp that was brand new. So I'm like, I'll take it, you know, whatever. Get it home, and I'm like, fuck, okay, I need a case for this thing. A case for that kind, you know how the Marshalls, they're a little, they're not as deep as like a lot of combos, you know? So you don't just go on Craigslist and find a road case for it. You gotta have them custom build or find a used one. And it was like $300 or $400 for the case. And I was like, no. Not doing that. I mean, look at, we've already talked about this. I'm not spending $400 on a freaking case.
There's a ceiling and it's low.
So all of a sudden I had this idea. I was like, well, wait, what if I take the chassis out of the 212 Marshall cab and see if we can just jam it into the corpse of the 6505. So I brought it to my amp shop and I talked to like three different like amp dudes and they're like, don't do that, dude, come on. That's like sacrilegious to do that. But then once I talked them all through it and I was like, but the case and I don't, like I didn't want to put, we're talking about putting wear on guitars and stuff. Something felt really weird to me about taking a cab that was brand new from 1980 and thrashing it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the one to put that, you know, wear
and
on
you
it.
You were gonna be though.
I would have been, yeah. So anyways, so they, after I kind of walked my buddies through it, they're like, wait, that's a rad idea, we should do that. And so they retrofitted it in and it just took a couple mods and it's upside down. The only way it would fit is upside down. So it's crammed in there. And it has KT88s too for nerds at home. That's like a, as opposed to like the, you know, standard stuff that would come in there. It's a little more low-end, rounder sounding, cool. You know. So that's that amp.
And then, I guess, is that the volume control? Like
this,
a master?
Oh, I can't talk about that. That's a secret knob. Yeah, that's just like my crazy, like, overdrive, like, destroy everything knob.
Well, can we hear it after a while?
Try it out.
Yeah. It's glued on there, folks.
Yeah, it's just a, I think it's a washer and dryer knob or something that I glued on there. A little prank.
Well, that makes sense, and you just got me.
Yeah, there you go.
I just been Reinhardt.
Nice.
Pedals, dude.
Pedals.
Let's talk about pedals.
Okay.
All right, this is the best part, especially with you, Nick. Mm. Pedal guy. Clearly, that's where your money goes. I'm going to start off asking you a specific question about a song rather than letting you go bonkers here.
Sure.
Warpless Run.
Yeah.
Crazy sounds. It's like Steve Stevens if he was doing like a Rebel Yell in 2018.
Right.
Walk me through that.
So the way that I would do that live, we are playing that on this tour.
Cool.
And every night when it comes to that, I'm like a little stressed. Because I'm like, where am I going?
You're giving a lot of people anxiety right now.
Yeah.
Just your setup.
Okay, maybe something like when it starts, I would go. Maybe something like that, you know, like that's what the solo would be. That might,
so
that
literally
might be a guitar.
It's like,
solo. It's noise. It's like, that's a thrasher noise.
Yeah.
Solo. Yeah. Like I can't recreate what the like record is or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's a cobbled together solo thing. But yeah, so I kind of just take my pick. Almost like I could just close my eyes and start doing stuff, you know? So yeah, that is that song.
But and then, okay. Another one would be Treasure and Trolls or Treasure of Trolls.
Yeah.
And that one kind of starts out a little cleaner, and then about midway through, there's some mayhem.
There's a crazy section in that.
Some chunk.
Yeah, there's like, it's so funny because like
that song was unreleased for about a year, and people would see us play it live and like, what is that song or whatever? And I don't actually have the correct pedals to recreate what I do that on record, but I do something like, that's kind of the gist of that section you're talking about. So
another one, West Ham United.
West Ham United goes, let's see. So there's a freaky middle section that's like, whoops, that wasn't supposed to happen. Let's see. Wait, here we go. Something like that for that one, yeah.
Dude, love it.
Yeah, all so right. I have a lot, lots of goodies that I get to go through. That's one of my favorite things about doing this particularly this band live, because it's like, oh, it's designed in a way that I could just do all that, you know?
Dude, I love it. I embrace the weird, so
cool.
So give it to me.
Thank you.
Going forward, kind of just take me through each pedal maybe, and just what kind of its special features that you use it for.
So here's what happens first. This was like, this took me a long time to sort out how I incorporate the synth stuff into this. And so I decided, okay, I want that to come before everything, obviously, because I want to be able to take this new synth sound and run that through the entire board.
Yep.
So what needs to happen for that is that needs to go first. And then I have this here switcher, just like, actually, that's a Mars Volta line switcher, which is pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah, one's got like 14 line switchers or something, and I'm always just kind of like picking and choosing. But so basically we have the Roland that goes into the line switcher, which also just takes a regular direct guitar signal.
Okay.
So then I can just switch between this guy between Roland synth sounds and guitar sounds.
Okay.
So the Roland. That.
I was just gonna ask, why would you not use something like a Mel 9 or a Mel C, but just that alone
answers
the question. There's a lot more going on.
Here, let's just pick one. Let's go through and just randomly pick something. Let's see what C63 is. It's like stabs. Let's see, let's go to E23. Fretless?
Yeah.
Tracks really, really well. Let me see if I could find it.
There's that would just be something fun to just kind of, yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like,
it's inspiring.
You can lose so much time on this thing, because it's crazy. There's, let's see, let me find. Oh, yeah, this one's funny. So,
you
know.
If you ever decided to go solo, I guess.
Yeah, well, and then so obviously then you take all these sounds and run them through all these sounds.
Yeah.
It's like an endless supply of stuff.
You are Willy Wonka, man.
Yeah, there you go. So that's first. Then, like I said. Really simple. I mean, I stressed on like how to design this. I'm like, that's it. It's fine, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the signal chain is here, but I'll just go through these.
Yeah,
you know?
Just go
that's
through.
A tuner, right? Ding dong, whatever, TU2. So here's one interesting thing. I'm using the Arrows, the Earthquaker Devices Arrows, as my overdrive. Because with this amp, the whole point of it is you just like slam it a little harder and then you get the sound,
yep.
Right? So it's like, traditionally, I've used like a, I don't know, Ibanez Tube Screamer or an Analog Man, King of Tone or something, and I would run 2-amp stereo. I'd run the Roland Jazz Chorus with this guy because the Jazz Chorus takes pedal so well, and I get that clear, just like slamming sound for bass synths and all sorts of things. But because I'm not using an overdrive, I'm only using a boost, what would that sound like boosting a Jazz Chorus?
Yeah.
You're just gonna get a louder Jazz Chorus instead of a distorted Jazz Chorus, right? So anyways, so I'm just actually slamming the amp a little bit harder with the arrows. It's down a little low, so you won't really be able to hear what it's doing, but. But I've never run an amp like that, and I'm just like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. It's the tone. Like, I finally have, like, a tone out of a guitar amp.
What made you go back to mono, getting out of the stereo amp rig?
Well, only because I knew that I wasn't, when I was gonna, our songs are so dynamic with, like, loud, quiet, loud and stuff. Like I said, not having a distortion pedal. So basically what would happen is, if I was running the Jazz Chorus stereo with this out of the DL4, when I went to a distortion part, that amp would sound amazing, and then the Roland is just gonna be louder. Not break up, because it's, you know, a solid state amp, so it's not gonna actually have any tone other than just louder.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, and I probably could have experimented with it more, but I just was like, I'm just gonna go one amp for this round and see what happens, and it's cool.
Cool.
Let's see, on this row down here, you got this new kind of fresh Earthquaker Devices Aqueduct, which is a, kind of their vibrato-y pedal that does a lot of weird stuff. There's a random setting, which that's what I have it on, to do the kind of this sort of thing.
Is that something maybe like Your Friends? Because I know that song kind of has that part where it's like, it almost catches your ear, like, is he playing out of tune? The warble vibe.
I wonder if that was a core. I have all the notes written on those songs, how we, like, did those songs.
Yeah.
And that might have been a really heavy chorus, which, I mean, that's kind of a vibrato, right? Like, this is set to random because I just like to turn it on when I'm doing like a regular sounding solo, and it just dives it. So if you're just like. It's just so ugly sounding, and which is hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that guy. After that is the Mantic Isaiah, which is just a delay. And I have this thing where I'm like obsessed with slap delays set at a very specific time with one feedback and the mix dimed. And the problem I was having, I was like trying all these different slap delays, and the time would move. The milliseconds like would just get off by a little bit. I'm so specific where I need it to be.
Yeah.
So this one had the big knobs, and I just super glued the knob down. So, and actually,
do you just carry glue on you?
Yeah, I actually do. I have some glue.
God.
Yeah. So here's this. So this is just when you need some, you know, like when I need that or repair something. But so actually, there's fresh glue on this because it just came undone the other day. But this is my specific slap speed to be able to do this. And so this is just cool because the knobs are nice and big, and I can very meticulously get in there and just put super glue. And the thing is about using super glue is like it comes off easily.
Yeah.
You just got to get a little thing in there, like a screwdriver, and pop it off. Yep. So it's not like it's ruining it, you know. So Mantic Isaiah for my slap sound. Then I got the Source Audio Nemesis Delay. I'm only using this for one sound in the set. It's an amazing delay pedal with all these crazy things. But I have it for a couple songs where I do this thing where I go. So it's like, you know, whatever, you know, repeating as a fifth higher or something like that. So that's that pedal. The Enzo, Maris Enzo, everyone freaked over that, including myself, not that long ago, 6 months ago.
What would you categorize it as?
It's a synth pedal, but it's crazy because I was even thinking about it on the, like, when I was setting it up today. It's like, it's a synth pedal, but it does so many crazy things. And I run it with their preset switch, which is kind of crucial.
Oh, that's cool.
So basically you get four different sounds out of it using the preset switch, four different synth sounds. So here's the first one, which So the Digitech Ricochet, that's exactly my sound of the out of the Digitech Ricochet, and I busted two Ricochets over the last year, so I'm like, I can't get another one. And anyways, I just happened to be able to get that sound out of the Enzo. So there's that sound out of it. This one's really cool. How would you classify that?
Man,
synthy?
Awesome.
Yeah, synthy. It's kind of like, remember, there's the Digitech Space Station. It's kind of that stuff.
Yeah.
This is sort of the Boss SYB3 sound. That's that sound. And then this would be the Line 6 FM4 kind of square wavy thing. So that's the Enzo. That thing's insane.
Wow, yeah.
It's like probably the best synth pedal on the market right now.
I get the hysteria.
Me. Yeah. Boss CE2. Nice. The classic chorus pedal that every chorus nerd has to have.
Mm-hmm.
Ranger FX Bleep. I was using a Ranger fuzz called the Dwarf Bitch. And that thing went down on me like the practice before we left for tour. So I hit up David, who's this really rad Englishman. And I said, hey man, I'm leaving for tour. Is there any way like we could somehow swap this out or something? He's like, check out my new bleep pedal. And it's a fuzz. It's like a super, super gated fuzz. And when you dial this bleep button, you kind of bring the bleep in, it turns into this sort of thing. So it's, I don't even know why.
Why?
Yeah. Because it's cool, I guess.
Yeah. But,
so anyway, so yeah, you can kind of tune the overtone of the bleep. So basically it just reacts to kind of like how, I guess the sense, how, what the sensitivity is set at.
Bypass that just to get, or I guess you can dial it out.
Yeah, you would dial it out. And then the cool just thing about this is Ranger FX uses, he came up with this insane expression pedal, which is just this thing on top. Here's another wacky thing. I have an expression pedal velcroed to another expression pedal. Yeah, so this one is a pressure sensitive guy. So basically it kind of opens up a filter. That's the Ranger FX Bleep. Amazing. First time using it on this tour. Rules.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
So board one complete. Let's move
board
on to
board complete.
Two.
Board two. Earthquaker Devices Tone Job. I used that to just kind of like beef up the Jazzmaster when I switch guitars for a little third of the set. So, you know, that sounds like Electro Harmonix. What is this? The Pog Mini?
Yeah.
There's a micro and a mini. I don't know.
I
put a sticker over it a really, really long time ago, so I don't remember which one it is, but yeah. You know that sound. Red Panda Tensor, also flipped for this one, I guess maybe about a year ago. It does a million things. You just gotta go watch the video. Juan and I did a video, like, I don't know, like 45 minute long video on what the hell that thing does, and it does quite a bit. But I have it set for kind of just this like looping delay thing. So, but I do it, I capture the loop really fast. So I go. So this expression pedal is doing the pitch.
Okay.
Pitch, and it does speed a little bit too. So if you go. Yeah, so that's that thing. So that thing rules.
Are you ever not smiling when you're playing guitar with this
stuff? I mean,
stuff?
That's the thing.
It just sounds fun.
This band is a fun band playing, absolutely. Then to the left of that, we have a Boss Super Shifter. I don't know what I have the interval set at, but. Right. Then I just have, I have a sticker over it. DD3.
Okay.
Just like for like a classic delay sound. Mm-hmm. You know, like this sort of thing. Delay.
<Classic.
laughs> You know, classic delay sounds.
Yeah, that was like on Dark Side of the Moon, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of set that thing up to be like a really, really short delay. And I tune it. Actually, it's tuned to E. It's a little flat, maybe. Let's see. There we go. Yeah, so I tune it to E so I can, instead of, like, sometimes when I want to hit an E chord, I could just turn on the delay instead.
Some would say that's cheating.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's a lot of cheating that happens in the set. Here, I'll pop up to here real quick. This is an Ibanez modulation delay 3. I have a whole bunch of those things because they're increasingly rare and just hilarious. No rhyme or reason to it. Makes no sense. Totally unusable.
Perfect for this band.
Yeah, for this band, it's perfect. Red Panda Context, which is just my favorite reverb pedal of all time. I always have that, can't leave home without it. Another pedal I can't leave home without is the Rainbow Machine by Earthquaker Devices. Yeah. I switched the knob out on this guy as well to just be kind of like one of, I guess, whatever these kind of knobs are called, mm-hmm. just because that tunes it. That kind of tunes the pitch, and I'm very specific about it being, this is an older one. The newer the newer models they have of this, it's notched out when it's dead center.
Okay.
But I don't have one of those, so I'm very specific about where I tune it. Like it right there. Now I could super glue that. Obviously, there's gonna be a lot of people at home being like, why doesn't he just super glue that? I like the interactivity of the knob. I like it to sometimes go a little bit out.
Okay.
But so anyway, so combining that with like a synth sound is just gnarly. That's kind of what happens with that.
It's like Close Encounters of the Third Kind there.
Yeah, yeah, there's total alien. This whole thing is like an alien control center. Then we have a Nard distortion pedal by Cameltone, dude out of Philly. He also makes my cables, these bright green guitar cables, so I don't ever lose them. This is just a nice, really crunchy distortion box. They kind of market it as Weezer's Blue Album and a pedal, which is pretty cool. Sounds good coming out of this amp. Nice, just kind of like loud distortion. But like we were saying, I don't use that as my main overdrive, right? Yeah. I'm on the arrows for the main overdrive. Mm-hmm. So that kicks in for like a lead or something every once in a while. Then a DL4, you guys know what the DL4 does.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
You guys are joining up with Mr. DL4 soon enough.
Minus the Bear coming up in a few days. Yeah, by the time you're seeing this, I'm probably hanging out with Dave Knudsen right now while you're watching
talking
this.
DL4s.
Talking DL4s. This thing's pretty cool. This is, everyone always asks me about this. This is the Keith McMillan 12-step. This controls my sampler, which is in the box. This guy right here. So I could be playing and just be stomping. And you know, back in the day it was like play, turn on, play, turn on kind of thing. And now I get to just do it this way. So that was like a really big deal because it's kind of hard to get a MIDI controller to communicate with an SP-404. Yeah. So, you know, it kind of like has worked itself out.
And I imagine the Helicon is for voice?
Yep, TC Helicon, what is that, the voice play for vocal stuff? Okay. Yeah, I'm not really a singer, so you put enough chorus on the vocals, you sound pretty good. So that's like my little trick. So, but yeah, I think that might be just about everything. This little guy, this guy, he
just
sits,
him.
He sits right there. Someone asked me last night if it was a theremin, because I do this thing where I'm playing and I'm like touching him like this. And they thought it was like a theremin. So I was like, that's pretty cool. So he just like my little good luck charm, scared little
tone
guy.
Guard.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you give us some of the, we heard it before, the Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, so let's see. Let me get this guy plugged in here. So usually, obviously this whole thing goes through the PA, but I'll just show it to you through the amp. So. Let's see. Get the little volume here.
Toasty! Toasty! If you were a 90s kid, you get what that's about.
Toasty!
And you're supposed, what, you hit start, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to hit start, and then what does it do?
I can't even remember.
You would like uppercut him and then finish the round, and he'd go.
Secret board.
He'd go.
Yeah, I think it was a secret background, I think.
Yeah, he pops out and goes.
Toasty!
Yeah. So anyways, but actually here, I'll show you. This is kind of funny. So if you come down here, give me a sec here. So I do this and then, let's see. This kind of thing. So I could just be playing and cueing the samples as needed. Let's see, where's Toasty?
Toasty!
Oh, there it is. Nice. I can make this.
Toasty!
My guitar's not plugging in, but... Yeah, so it's just more obnoxious. More ways to be obnoxious.
Just being weird, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Nick, thank you so much.
Man, thank you so much.
This is a treat. You guys check out Pedals and Effects YouTube channel when you're done checking out Premier Guitar. Rig cool. Rundown.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to premierguitar.com/rig rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.